Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode I answered another question from one of our readers, and the question last week was, my dad is in ICU and he's not waking up. What should I do? Help. You can check out last week's question by clicking on the link below this video. In today's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer a question from one of my clients, Lelaine, as part of my one-on-one consulting and advocacy service. Lelaine's mom is ventilated in ICU and is not waking up. Lelaine is asking if a tracheostomy will be safe for her mom's condition. So today's question is, my mom is 14 days ventilated in ICU and is not waking up. Would a tracheostomy be safe for my mom? Lelaine writes, hi Patrick, my name is Lelaine. I would like to ask a few questions about a tracheostomy. My mom has been admitted in ICU and is currently on mechanical ventilation. Her breathing is okay now. She's able to breathe on her own and the ventilator oxygen is reduced to 30% PEEP of 6. The doctors are suggesting a tracheostomy, but for her condition and still recovery of sepsis and lung infection, she is not fit for surgery. A general anesthetic is also dangerous for her. Today, she is 14 days ventilated and the doctors are not able to wean her off the ventilator even though she's breathing on her own because she's in a minimal conscious state. Her other parameters are all normal, but general well-being is not good. In this case, what would be your advice? We are confused to go for a tracheostomy or not. If prolonged on mechanical ventilation for another 2 weeks, will it be okay? Any other options than tracheostomy? Please advise from Lelaine. Hi Lelaine, thank you for being a client. I very much appreciate it. You have a very relevant question here. Can you share more information with me so I can help you to the best of my abilities? Number one, can you get arterial blood gas results? Number two, can you get a picture of the ventilator? Number three, a list of the medications your mother is on? Number four, what has led to the sepsis and lung infection? Number five, is your mother still in an induced coma? Number six, has your mother been in prone position with a lung infection? And number seven, the latest chest x-ray results. The more information, the better. Once we have all the relevant clinical information, then we can advise you. Thank you. Here is Lelaine's response. Hi Patrick, thank you for your prompt reply. Please see my responses. So Lelaine attached pictures of an arterial blood gas results and a picture of the ventilator, as well as a list of the medications. So the list of medications my mother is on is Zyvox, human albumin, Diflucan, insulin, TPN, remifentanil, which stopped last week. Next question was, what has led to the sepsis and lung infection? She had the flu infection in her foot that led her to the sepsis. 2 weeks back, she underwent a below the knee amputation. Before the operation, she was okay, but weak. The lung infection began after the operation. The leg wound is healing and due to low albumin, her lung filled with water, caused difficulty in breathing and placed on a ventilator. And now the lung is clearing up, but she still has the pneumonia. The doctor said that the infection due to the sepsis is okay now, but the white cell count is high due to lung infection. Other parameters are normal. Her albumin is low, causing her body to swell up. The swelling reduced at hands and face, but leg and body is still swollen. Human albumin is given, but still not able to increase the albumin level. Today's lab result is albumin 21, white cell count 4.7. 47, not 4.7. Number five, question was, is your mother still in an induced coma? Yes, she's able to open her eyes, but minimally. She can hear and respond, but for a while only, it's like on and off. Number six, has your mother been in prone position with a lung infection? No, she's in a supine position. Number seven, latest chest x-ray results have been attached. She's currently on a feeding tube and urine is okay. She's on the third day on ventilation with sedation with remifentanil. She still responds conscious but sleepy, able to move hands. The sedation has stopped last Tuesday, and from Tuesday until now, there is slight improvement in her from fully unconscious to opening eyes slowly and sleep again. Yes, she responded, not able to lift a hand, but when I hold it, she grabs my hand, open her eyes, but very minimally. In between, this is, I saw a few times that she's coughing, but no sound. Doctors did the CT scan on Sunday and say there are old scars only. Brain is normal. Previously, she had the stroke and paralyzed left side, but she was able to talk and was conscious. The doctor is saying maybe the blood flow to the brain is slow due to the infection, so she's not able to open her eyes. Her parameters are pulse 78, O2 100%, blood pressure 145 over 60, systolic above 110 always. I personally don't want my mother to undergo tracheostomy, but I do want for her what's best for her. I need advice if there are any other options that we can go for, or continue with mechanical ventilation, or go for a tracheostomy. Is a tracheostomy a safe procedure? Please advise. Attached is a blood test result and chest x-ray result. Waiting for your prompt reply from Lelaine. So here is my response to Lelaine after we reviewed all the clinical information that Lelaine has sent to us. Thank you for giving us sufficient clinical information, Lelaine, about your mum's current condition. Please see the details below. So the arterial blood gas results, we need to have the results of the last series of your mum's arterial blood gas results to help in determining the oxygenation status of your mum. We need the picture of the ventilator. I have seen the picture of the ventilator, and your mum is currently in SIMV, PVRC and pressure support mode, which is synchronized intermittent mandatory ventilation, pressure regulated volume control and pressure control and pressure support. This is a conventional mechanical ventilation that provides mandatory breaths which are synchronized with your mum's own spontaneous breath efforts at a preset rate. Your mum's mechanical ventilator setting is as follows. FiO2 40%, PP 6, respiratory rate is 10, tidal volume 450, pressure support 14. Your mum has minimal ventilator settings and has the possibility of extubation, which is the removal of the breathing tube, provided that her series of blood gases and chest x-ray results are acceptable. Another is if she's awake and cooperative, sitting up in bed and with the presence of a spontaneous strong cough. For added information about your mum's ventilator setting, tidal volume TV typically 6 to 8 mils per kilogram. What is your mum's weight? Respiratory rate usually 10 to 30 breaths per minute, adjusted according to the result of blood gases. PEEP 5 to 12 centimeters per water, adjust for FiO2. Chest x-ray, higher PEEP needed for sick lungs. Pressure support usually 10 centimeters per water, common range 6 to 14, adjusted for desired work of breathing. Lower pressure support makes your mum work harder. FiO2 21 to 100% adjusted with saturations. FiO2 above 60% is toxic. Your mum's 40% is moderately minimal. List of medications your mum is on. Zyvox, used to treat different types of bacterial infections such as pneumonia, skin infections, and infections that are resistant to other antibiotics. Number 2, human albumin. It is used to treat or prevent low blood volume. It is used to treat low blood pressure. It is used to replace albumin in people with low blood albumin levels. Diflucan, also known as fluconazole, is an antifungal medicine. Number 4, insulin. It is used to lower blood sugar in patients with high blood sugar for diabetes. 5, TPN is total parenteral nutrition, and it's a method of feeding that bypasses the gastrointestinal tract, a special formula given through a vein that provides most of the nutrients the body needs. The method is used when someone can't or shouldn't receive feedings or fluids by the mouth, or via a PEG, or via a nasogastric tube. This should be infused in a good central line. Next, you mentioned that remifentanil has been stopped last week. If the sedation has been stopped from last week, your mum should be getting much more awake over time. What is her latest Glasgow Coma Scale or GCS? It's important to know about this to assess if your mum is improving or deteriorating. Number four, what has led to the sepsis and lung infection? Your mum's white cell count is very high, which is indicative of an infection, and she's already covered with a strong antibiotics. But she is already taking very strong antibiotics, but remains still having the infection. Have they consulted any infectious disease consultant about it? Have they taken any recent blood cultures? What are the results? Those are very important questions to have a good lead on how to combat the infection appropriately. Next, is your mother still in an induced coma? Yes, she's able to open her eyes, but minimally. She can hear and respond, but for a while only. It's like on and off. It's important to know about the series of her GCS Glasgow Coma Scale, and I'll put a link to an assessment scale below this blog in the written version of this video. Has your mother been in prone position with the lung infection? No, she is in supine position. Your mum is currently bedridden because of her condition, and she should be turned from side to side every 2 hours to improve chest expansion on the upward side and increase perfusion on the lung on the dependent side. The prone position is used to improve oxygenation in ventilated patients who continue to be dependent on the ventilator despite other interventions. Latest chest x-ray results. Chest x-ray result attached is okay, but I need to see the updated results, please, if you can provide any latest results thereafter. Thank you. Additionally, hemoglobin is on the low side. They should keep an eye with the kidney markers, and they should be doing chest physiotherapy and passive or active mobilization for your mum, if her condition permits. I hope this all helps. For any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. From Lavina. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for the detailed explanation. I don't have the results for the arterial blood gas, but when I asked the nurse, they said mum is very minimally dependent on the ventilator. Her oxygenation is good. They just wait for her to be fully focused so they can remove the ventilator. Otherwise, they need to do the tracheostomy. I will try to ask tomorrow, but my mum's Glasgow Coma Scale is 7 at the moment. The chest x-ray was the latest. Today, the doctor said her lung is improving. The breathing and lung movement is normal so far. The only problem is she's not waking up. The hospital don't have infectious disease specialists, and we could not shift my mum to another hospital also due to her condition. We don't want to do the tracheostomy for her, but I need advice based on what I have given you. Do you think she can extubate and remove from the ventilator? She's opening her eyes minimally, and sometimes she's grasping my hand when I hold her, but sometimes she can't, but she's coughing sometimes. Is a tracheostomy permanent? If we go for it, will it affect her quality of life, or can we extubate her and just give her oxygen? They have taken the recent blood culture there, and MRSA was detected. They have taken the test again. It showed negative MRSA. Previously, mum had ESBL infection due to the leg, which led to sepsis. But recently, the doctor said no infection of ESBL. Meropenem was stopped and continued with Zyvox. From Lelaine. Hi, Lelaine, thank you for your response. Taking off a ventilator is different for every patient with different situations. If your mom is going to continue from having good parameters like having good chest x-rays, acceptable blood gases, able to cough and on her own and fully awake, she may be able to be extubated and be removed from the ventilator. It's better to let her be extubated than having the tracheostomy in the first place. Have they done any brain MRI apart from the brain CT scan, depending on the results of this diagnostic finding? Together with her overall condition, will they suggest that your mum needs to be having tracheostomy because of the possibility that she will be dependent on the ventilator? If she will be dependent on the ventilator, she needs to have the tracheostomy then, but the ICU team should exhaust all efforts in trying to wean her off the ventilator first before doing the tracheostomy for her. I have inserted some links to articles below for more information and tracheostomy and weaning off the ventilator. I hope this helps. Thank you, Patrick, for your response. Her parameters are all okay. The only reason they are asking to go for a tracheostomy is because my mum is minimally unconscious and they are afraid if she's not able to breathe later after extubation, they need to re-ventilate her again. They're saying they want to do a tracheostomy also to wean her off the ventilator because she's more than 14 days on the ventilator. From Lelaine. Hi, Lelaine. Yes, that is correct. Generally speaking, if a patient is expected to be ventilated for more than 7 days, then the tracheostomy should be necessary. You can try reading the articles I gave you. That will give you good information about tracheostomy and ventilation. Yes, Patrick, I read the articles. May I ask a few more questions? If tracheostomy is a safe procedure, I mean, Are the complications rare or can it be tolerated in most cases? Generally, how is it? The sedation for tracheostomy, will it be given on a higher dose? Will it affect my mum's brain? Will a tracheostomy cause any other problems in the future? With my mum's current situation, as she's not fully awake normally, is this case good to go for tracheostomy? If, let's say, we extubate her without tracheostomy, any chances that she will not be able to breathe during extubation? If yes, will the doctor intubate her back? Is it safe? Hi, Lelaine, thank you for reading the articles. I hope you have learned something from it. Anyway, here are my answers to your question. Is a tracheostomy a safe procedure? I mean, are there complications rare or can be tolerated in most cases? Generally, how is it? Yes, definitely, tracheostomy is a safe procedure. Like any other surgeries, there will always be risks and complications involved. All surgeries have risks of bleeding and infections. There is also a risk of damaging other areas of the neck. These risks are typically small and tracheostomy is overall a safe procedure. Complications are more common if patients are very sick, weak or malnourished. The sedation for tracheostomy, will it be given in a higher dose? Will it affect my mum's brain? The doctors will then gauge how much sedation they're going to give your mum depending on her current health and mental status. Will tracheostomy cause any other problems in the future? We have the short-term and the long-term risks. Most of the short-term risks are related to the surgery, like for bleeding. For long-term risks, over time, the tracheostomy tube also can cause some damage to the windpipe or the trachea, which can cause problems if the tube is removed. The tracheostomy tube can sometimes cause breakdown of the area around the hole in the neck. This area is called the stoma. This can lead to an infection and rarely serious bleeding. With my mum's current situation, as she's not fully awake normally, is this case good to go for tracheostomy? Yes, even if your mum is not fully awake, they can proceed with a tracheostomy procedure. If, let's say, we extubate her without a tracheostomy, any chances that she will not be able to breathe during extubation? If yes, will the doctor intubate her back? Is it safe? Yes, there will always be the risk of being able not to tolerate the extubation, especially for her case that she has been ventilated for 14 days, so she is prone to reintubation, which is dangerous. Before the doctors decide to extubate your mum, they should be doing the weaning process first, wherein your mum's ventilator settings will be reduced gradually, takes days until it's off. During this process, will they know if she's tolerating breathing on her own and would be safe for extubation? Along with this, they should also be looking at different parameters as well, like for the blood gases, chest x-rays, and her level of consciousness. Hi Patrick, thank you for the perfect explanation. Really thankful for the info from Lelaine. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control power and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power and influence when you download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power and real control, and how you can influence decision-making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free Instant Impact Report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free Instant Impact Report now by entering your email below. In your free Instant Impact Report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you'll also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability, even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. you will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also check out our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me, find phone numbers on the top of our website. Also, have a look at our ebook section where you get more ebooks, videos, and audio recordings, and where you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone, via Skype, via Zoom, and via email by clicking on the relevant tabs on the top of our website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll talk to you in a few days.